Welcome back to the MapDeck Cycling Fitness Podcast. Today is episode 4, and today we are talking about VO2, something that I'm sure you have heard about, often seen as excessive testing, just for the pros, unnecessary, maybe even a little bit pointless. But today I want to see if we can shed some light on this and tell you why it's still not only just relevant, but actually really important today. Let's get started. Okay, VO2, what actually is it? When we talk about VO2, we often add that little word max to it and that dreaded VO2 max test. But that's just a tiny, tiny part of how useful this metric is. VO2 is actually about the uptake, the consumption of oxygen in your body, which I'm sure you will agree is really, really important. You know, oxygen does a lot for us. So our consumption of it and how efficiently we consume it is really, really important. Now, you've got to remember that the air around us is made up 21% oxygen, and when we breathe in, some of it is absorbed and some of it is exhaled. We don't take in that whole 21%. Also, our breathing becomes deeper and it becomes more frequent. So we have some measures that we look at when we get this VO2 test. Now, you've probably seen this in pictures and videos and magazines. We have a mask that goes over your nose and your mouth. And what that is measuring, that normally calibrates to the amount of oxygen available in the air, which is normally around 21%, measures the volume of air and the volume of oxygen being exhaled. Now, some actually also measure the CO2 being expired as well, but most just do oxygen. So there's a few metrics when you go for a VO2 test that they will give you. The first one, which I think is probably most important, is something we call VE, or ventilation, and this is quite simply the liters of air per minute passing through your lungs. Now, that's made up of the obviously the size of those breaths, but also RF, the respiratory frequency, so how often you're breathing. And that can immediately give a coach some really good insight as to how effectively you're breathing. Some athletes will get to a very high heart rate and start to panic breathe, and the breaths will become very shallow and very rapid. And that's something that's really easily trainable, quite hard to identify just by observing or even just by yourself. So there's one really quite vital in improving your training. Just training yourself to breathe more calmly, more effectively can actually make quite a big difference. That other thing that's really important is the fraction of expired oxygen. You'll see this on your report called FeO2. And this is of that 21% oxygen that you breathed in, how much of it then came back out again. And the difference between those two numbers, we can assume, was consumed by your body to create energy, you know, taken into the blood, moved around the body, and then eventually exhaled again. What isn't taken up by the blood is just exhaled again. So that's what we measure, that fraction of expired oxygen. Some VO2 masks as well will also measure the fraction of expired CO2, and then we get a deeper insight to some things. But it's not often that you find that, to be honest. That VO2 then is often expressed as a number, and more importantly, it's often expressed as a weighted VO2, so relevant to your body weight. So VO2 becomes the amount of oxygen consumed per minute per kilogram. And we have two measures, one that is constant, what's actually happening in your body right this second, and the other one is the maximum that you've ever been recorded, hence the VO2 max. And VO2 max is actually relatively irrelevant because we can go to a lookup table and we can see how your VO2 max compares to the population of all the people that have ever been measured, you know, and put you into a category of whether you're poor, average, good, very good, athletic, Olympian, that sort of thing. And you're right, a lot of the studies that have come out recently have declared that VO2 max is mostly determined by genetics. And the VO2 test became less relevant as the measurement of lactate came along and Joel Friel and his FTP measurement came along, and we started to find something that is more trainable, i.e. your lactate tolerance is perhaps easier to train in terms of making progress rather than trying to train your VO2. But we need to put some perspective on that idea. And that is, these studies were, if you're already fit and already probably maxed out or getting close to your genetic limit, then training your VO2 isn't going to provide that much of a yield in terms of future performance. However, if you train your lactate threshold, you can still see performance gains. But if you're an average athlete who hasn't quite fully maximized their VO2 potential, then VO2 is definitely worth training because oxygen is of absolute utmost importance. Now, I want to come back to that one word that I think you should probably remember from this, and that is uptake. That is how that oxygen is used by the body. And we just think about this for a second. It's fascinating because there are so many areas where how you can really help your body improve VO2 before we even think about getting on a turbo trainer and working at VO2 max. First thing is, oxygen has to enter your body through that inhalation. That diaphragm has to move. You have to take a full and complete inhale and fill those lungs. So our lungs need to be healthy. The diaphragm needs to move. We need to take a good inhale. Then that oxygen in your lungs has to now be absorbed by the blood, the hemoglobin. And you just think about that osmosis that has to happen of, first of all, your hemoglobin has to give up the used CO2 and make some space. That is important. We'll probably get to that in the next podcast. And then that oxygen needs to bind with hemoglobin, and iron is a critical component in this. So now we have oxygenated hemoglobin running through your body, going past all your vital organs, and then it needs to bind with the myoglobin in the muscle. So it needs to leave the hemoglobin, get into the myoglobin. And as it does that, it now has a chance to become part of cellular respiration and enter the mitochondria and go through the electron transfer chain and start producing ATP, that molecule of energy that makes a muscle twitch. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get that oxygen to create a molecule of ATP from glucose. So uptake of oxygen is actually dependent on quite a few things before we even think about training really hard. That's a good diet, it's good breathing practice, you know, it's a healthy system, it's all going to help. The big thing with VO2 is actually, why are we doing it? And the real why to this is, well, we just want more energy, and we can create so much more energy when oxygen is present, i.e. aerobic, than when it's not present, anaerobic. It's a complex system, but oxygen is also used in the oxidation of fat to make that energy. Now, once we start using our fat reserves, which is a very energy dense, you know, reserve of energy there, now we can, you know, one molecule of fatty acid can get up to 129 molecules of ATP when we use oxygen. It is incredibly efficient use of find that energy. And it's the most dense fuel we have, so we might as well access it. So how do we train VO2? And notice that I'm just using the word VO2, not VO2 max for now. Now, the first thing is to try and train with pinpoint accuracy your aerobic zones. Because I think I explained in the last episode, once we train above it, we don't put more stress on our aerobic system. We actually take a little bit of stress off it by introducing our anaerobic system to help out a bit. Now, you've got to think about all our energy systems, aerobic and anaerobic, all working at the same time. However, as we go through that intensity scale, our effort becomes harder. We utilize more and more of our anaerobic, and we also ask our aerobic system to work harder as well. Now, there is a point you know, a very point, very, very easy in that scale where your anaerobic system really isn't being used very much at all, but your aerobic system is. And that's, if we can stress that, your body will adapt and all those things that we talked about earlier will start to adapt and change. And this is what we get out of a VO2 test more than anything else. Like, forget that VO2 max figure. There's one thing, is to pinpoint accurately that metabolic change as to where your body asks your anaerobic, your without oxygen system, to help out, you know, and we keep our training at that point. And that's, if you're familiar with the Steven Seiler three zone model, that's what we call VT1, ventilation threshold one. More commonly, we're probably in the Joel Friel FTP model, it's the top end of zone two. But rather than taking it from a percentage of your FTP, which I think we've sort of discussed isn't that accurate for a lot of people, with that VO2 test, we can very accurately pinpoint where that metabolic change happens and then prescribe training at that level. And that's really exciting, because that really does help build that aerobic efficiency. The next opportunity we have of training VO2 max is probably what you're more familiar with, you know, the terminology, and that is that god-awful, horrible training that's right at the top end, where you're training so hard that your anaerobic system and your aerobic system is at maximum. Like, the demand on energy is so high that your body's doing whatever it possibly can to try and supply it. There's no question about it that your aerobic system is absolutely maxed out. Your every breath you take is full and big and fast, and your heart rate is high, and it's, you get the idea, it's pretty horrible. And it is quite important to train like that. Again, we talked about this before. When you're rested, when you're ready, you can take your body there. And also quite fit. If you're not very well trained, I wouldn't recommend just jumping in and doing some VO2 max training. Build up your volume first, build up a good steady base, and then you can start pushing your body. The best way to think about this is about supply and demand. And I've just got a little analogy which I like to think about when I'm explaining this to people. This analogy is that of a mining operation. So imagine a coal mine going all the way to the furnace to produce electricity, which we're much more familiar with the term of electricity as energy. Now, the mine is like your lungs, your coal mine like your lungs, where you can dig up that oxygen, you know, and get it. But once you've dug it out of the ground, you need to transport it. And I'm sure you can imagine at the mine, those big machines that load it onto trains, you know, to try and take that coal to where it needs to go. And those trains are like your cardiac system, your arteries and your veins, carrying that fuel to where it needs to go. And those two things are limited. So the mine is limited by how big the mine is and how busy the miners are in order to get that coal out. The trains are limited by how frequently they run and how much they can carry, just the same way as your hemoglobin is limited. And then you've got to think about the muscle as your furnace, where we burn that coal and it creates energy. And those furnaces can be very, very efficient, or they can be really, really inefficient, and they can store it. Imagine like a store of coal in the yard. As that supply and demand system, you can imagine that working its way through. And oxygen is just the same. If there is a demand for it, your body needs to work back through that system to supply it and mine it and get it to where it needs to be. In the next episode, we are going to look at identifying what part of that system becomes your limiter and how you might be able to train it. Because all of those systems independently can be identified as something that you can work on, improve, and improve that uptake of VO2 and become a much more energy efficient and faster athlete. Until next time, see you soon.